Hi, welcome to the Office Dev Show, the only show that's focused on developing on the Office 365 platform. I'm your host, Richard Azariga, and in today's show, we're going to look at calling into the Microsoft Graph using app-only permissions. So we've done a number of shows where we leveraged the Microsoft Graph, but in all those cases, we were always using a delegated permission. And what that means is we were always acting on behalf of the user that was signed in. And so there are other scenarios where you might want to operate more globally or tenant-wide, and that's what app-only permissions are really good at doing. So they can really operate at a higher level than an individual user. They can perform operations on all users inside of a tenant. Now, these are a very high-trusted type of application. If you think about it, if I were to create an application using these app-only permissions that had access to mail, this would theoretically have access to every mailbox of every user in your tenant. And so there's an additional level of security and consent that we'll need to go through in order to build these. And so we'll go ahead and get started. You know, the first step in defining an application that's going to call into the Microsoft Graph is registering that application. In a lot of our shows, you've seen me use app registration tools. In this case, we can't use that app registration tool because it doesn't support app-only permissions. It's really just for delegated permissions. And so in order for us to register an app, we're actually going to go to the old Azure Management Portal where we can go manage things inside of Azure Active Directory. So what I'm going to do is go down to Azure Active Directory. I'm going to select my tenant that I want to do this in. And we're going to go and define a new application under here. So here's my Applications tab. I have tons of applications. I have literally like 5 pages worth. We're going to create a new one here. And so we'll go ahead and create an application that my organization is developing. We'll call this the Dev Show App Only. And we're going to call this a web application, even though it's really going to be running as a background process. You'll kind of see how that fits in here. The next thing is a single sign-on URL. We'll just go with HTTPS localhost 44300. Really doesn't matter for this. The app URI, now this is important. If you were building one of these app-only applications that was going to work with multiple tenants, we would want to put a unique value here. So in this case, what I might do for the app URI is do something like rzdemos.com/my or dev show app only. That's a kind of a good pattern to follow for your app URI. This is the resource ID for your application. And so it's kind of a best practice to make this unique. And if it follows the tenancy, that's a good pattern. So we'll go ahead and create this. So I could make this multi-tenant. We're not going to do multi-tenant because it requires a little bit of extra things, but we'll go to the configure tab here where you'll see all the details of our application. So we'll see things like our client ID. We can generate a secret here in just a moment. But down at the bottom, I'm going to add an application. So let me just zoom in on this. So you can see here I can add an application. That's going to bring up a little dialog here where I can select all the different applications I want this app to call into. So we want to call the Microsoft Graph. So we'll go ahead and say OK on that. Now, if you've ever been here, you've probably used this delegated column where you could go and select delegated permissions for your application. But what we're going to do is application permissions. So we're going to go in here and be able to look at different information. And so let's maybe do read directory data. We'll just maybe read some users that are in our tenancy. So we'll go ahead and select that. I'll zoom out and press save. Now we're not done. Because we're going to be doing app-only permissions, and again, think about the impact of that, is I'm going to be able to really call into any user as any user in our tenant, is we need to put an additional level of security in how we're going to communicate. And the way we're going to do that is with certificates. So this application actually needs a certificate that we're going to generate. So let's go ahead and do that. I'm going to go out to just a command prompt here, And I'm going to use the make cert command. If you're using Windows, that's probably your best way to generate a cert, just a little self-signed cert that you can test with. If you're on something else, there's lots of tools for generate certificates, but in this case, I'm on Windows. So we're going to go and do make cert. And I'll zoom in on this because there's a lot of kind of details that I'm going to use in this command line. So the first thing I'm going to do is just a few switches. We're going to give this a name. We'll call this the dev show cert. We'll do a start date of today, which is 8/02/2016. And we'll have it expire 2 years from today, so 8/02/2018. We'll put it in the my location so we can get it to it real quick, and then we'll give it a length of 2048. And what did I mess up here? Oh, there we go. All right, so make cert, we give it a name. Start date, end date, that all looks good. So we'll go ahead and run this. There we go, it succeeded. So we're going to go ahead and zoom out, and now we're going to go find that certificate. So I'm just going to do run my little management console. When this loads, what we're going to end up doing is loading the certificate snap into this. So we'll go ahead and find certificates. There it is. We'll add it. We'll add it for me. And then I'm going to go locate that certificate that we just generated. So I'm going to expand the certificates for the current user. There we go. We'll go under personal. And then I have lots of certificates here, so we're going to have to try to find the one that is our certificate for the dev show. So let's see. There's dev show cert. You can see it right here. I'll zoom in on it. So there's that dev show cert. So we're going to export this twice. So we'll go ahead and do all task. We're going to do an export. First, we're going to do the public key. So we're going to go ahead and not do the private key here. We're going to do the public key. So just do a CER file. And we'll just call this dev. Well, actually, I'm going to put it on my desktop so I can find it easy. So we'll do desktop, and we'll call this dev show cert. Okay, we're going to do it one more time with the private key. All good. So I'm going to just give this a really easy password. I'm going to give it just P as a password. I'll just call it password. And the same thing I'm going to put on my desktop, and I'm going to call it dev show cert, but this time it's going to be a PFX file because it has that private key. There we go. We have our two certificates exported. The next step that we need to do is run a little bit of PowerShell to get the base 64 hash of this certificate. So let's go ahead and do that here. I have just a little bit of PowerShell, and I'll make sure there's a link to this in the show notes. But what I'm going to do is on my desktop, I have just a little script here that's called getcert.ps1. And just to show you what this is doing, there's not a whole lot involved. If I were to go and kind of crack this open, I'll just open into Notepad. What I'm doing is I'm going to get the certificate. I'm going to import it as an X509 certificate. And then I'm going to get the raw certificate data and basically base64 encode that. You'll see kind of where that base64 encoding is going to go later. It's going to be an important component of what we put together. All right, so let's run it. I'll go ahead here and we'll go ahead and run this. So where's the location? And it's going to be under C, users, my username, desktop, and then it is going to be dev show cert.cer. All right, so you can see it output a bunch of junk onto the screen here. Part of this includes are the details that we're going to use in our Azure application. So you can see we have our base64 encoding, all that stuff is set here. All right, so let's go to the next step, which is we're going to go back to our application And what we need to do is take these details and give it to Azure. Now, the unfortunate thing is today, if you need to do this, you actually have to manually edit the configuration for this application. And the way you do that is you go down to the bottom here, and you're going to do the manage the manifest file, and you're going to download it. So let's go ahead and download this manifest file. And we'll go and open this. There we go. All right, so you can see there's a lot of details in here. And what we need to do is manually update this section right here, the key credentials. This needs to have the details of our certificate. And so you do have to manually edit this. There's nothing in the user interface that allows you to specify this. So for now, you're going to have to do this manually. So I'm going to go ahead and grab that block that we're going to end up putting in here. So we'll go ahead and grab this new key credentials. And we'll paste it in. And we need to fill in some blanks. All right, so you can see here, I'll zoom in. We need the base64 hash from our PowerShell. We need the key ID from our PowerShell. And then we need the base64 certificate from our PowerShell. And those were the three outputs of our PowerShell window. So if I were to zoom out and just do a quick copy here, the first is our full base64 path. So we'll go ahead and, oops, that's not what I wanted. Let's go ahead and grab their certificate. And that's going to be the full value here. So there is our certificate. The next thing that we need is the cert hash. And then the last thing we need is the key ID. Let's go back here. And we'll put in our key ID. All right, there we go. So this should be in good shape. We just make sure there's no extra spaces here. So I think that should all be good. And we'll go ahead and save this. And then we're going to upload it back into the Azure Management Portal. So let's go back to the Azure Management Portal. We did our download. Now that we've put the certificate information in here, we're going to go and upload. There it is. Okay. So we'll go and upload it, and hopefully we'll get a success here. So it looks like it successfully uploaded our application. All right, so we should be in good shape now to actually start working and building an application that leverages this application definition. So let's go over to Visual Studio, and I'm just going to create a new project. And in this case, we're going to do a console application, because again, this is something that we just want to run in the background. It's not going to be a normal type of web application. So let's just do a console app. And we'll call this dev show app only. All right, now because we're going to be doing a number of things that are asynchronous, we're going to need to do a little bit of syntax in here because a console application natively operates synchronously. So let's first create maybe a little private static async task, and we'll call this do stuff. And that's what we're going to basically run on our thread is this do stuff. So let's just do a var task equals do stuff. And then we'll do a task dot wait all of that process. So now we can go and do things inside of this do stuff that might take a decent amount of time. So the first thing we need to do is read the private key certificate, the PFX file. In fact, what I'm going to do is I'm going to add it to the project here. So let's just do a quick add existing file. And we'll just go out to my desktop and let's find the PFX file. So let's see, there's DevShow PFX. So we're just going to add that to our project. And so the first thing I'm going to do is go and get a reference to that file. So let's just say cert file. And what we're going to do is a system.io read.file, and then we're going to read or do an open read of that file. And in this case, we're just going to do an absolute path to it. It's a little bit kludgy, but we'll just do, let's see, C projects. I think we're under Office. Let's just look here. Actually, I might be able to just do this if I make it build action. I do an embedded resource. We'll try that. I might be able to just do it relatively. So let's do dev show cert.pfx. Let's just test that here really quickly. I just want to make sure that it actually reads it. So we'll just run our console application. And let's see if it actually found that relatively. Doesn't look like it did. All right, well, we'll go ahead and get the absolute path to it. So again, it'll be under C, projects, office, dev show app only. And we'll just go to this full path. And okay, let's try that one more time. I just want to make sure that we get our cert. And some of the samples that we have out there, it'll show you more of a, yeah, so there we go. We're good to go on this one. Some of the other samples will show more of like a relative way of getting this, especially if you were to deploy this to like an Azure web job or a Azure function or something like that. All right, so let's move on. Let's get the certificate bytes. So let's do a cert bytes equals new byte array. And we're just going to go ahead and initialize this as the cert file, not cert fail. Let's call this cert file dot length. The next thing we're going to do is read in those bytes. So we'll do a cert file dot read. And we're going to read the cert bytes. And we're going to start at zero, and again, we're going to do the full length of this. So we'll do cert file dot length. All right, so now that we've read those bytes, we're ready to actually define a X509 certificate that we'll use here. So let's do a var cert equals new X509. Let's see if we can resolve this. We can. So we got our X509 certificate. And then inside of here, there's going to be a few things that we define. So the first thing that we're going to put in here is the actual certificate bytes. So we'll go ahead and say cert bytes. The next thing we need is the password, which is the password that I specified when I did the export of this. In this case, I did a really just simple password. You can see it there on the screen. But can we zoom in on this? The next thing we need to do is specify any sort of storage flags. And so there's a few here that are gonna be really important, especially if we were to put this out in a web job. And so what we're gonna do is an X509 flag, and we're gonna say exportable. And we're gonna pipe these because there are gonna be a few. We'll do another one that says machine set. And one more that is going to be persist key. All right. So we're good. That's all the kind of definition we need on that certificate. We now need to work with the ADAL library. So we've worked with ADAL a lot in almost all the shows that we did where we worked with delegated permissions. But it also works for doing things like app-only permissions. So I'm going to zoom out here, and we're going to add that NuGet package to our project. So I'm going to go out here and manage NuGet packages. We're going to search for ADAL. And it should be the top one here. We'll go and grab the latest stable build of ADAL, add it to our project. And again, this is what's going to allow us to very easily go out and get tokens. Just because we're using certificates, it's not going to change the fact that we need to get access tokens. The difference here is I don't need a user involved to go and actually get those access tokens. I'm going to be able to get those tokens silently, just using the fact that I have a certificate that Azure now knows about and trusts. So this looks like it's all added. We can now go back and define some things from ADAL. So we're going to do a client assertion certificate. And this is an ADAL class. So let me just resolve this here really quickly. There we go. So we've resolved it. And I'm going to say CAC is equal to a new client certificate. And what we're going to do is I need to provide this our ID and then the certificate. So I need the app ID and then we need our cert in here. Now, we haven't really done anything with our app ID, but let's go ahead and grab that here very quickly. So I can go back to our app definition and here's that client ID. We'll go ahead and copy that. So now that that's copied, we can now put that in here. So we're basically saying, hey, here's the ID. Now that you've kind of looked up the ID, here's the certificate that should be associated with that application. So now I'm going to set up an authentication context. So auth context equals new auth context. And inside of here, I'm going to specify a few things. One, we need the authority. Now, here's where it gets interesting. If I was doing this as a multi-tenant application, I would need the tenant ID, not a tenant name, but actually like the GUID that's associated with that tenant. Because we're hard coding this to like my tenant, I'm going to be able to just use one tenant. But the way you'd actually get the tenant ID for the user is they're going to have to consent to this application. So you're going to have to send them through a normal like authorization flow. But what you can do is instead of just saying the response type is code, you can say code plus ID token, and that will actually get you the tenant ID. So that's really a best practice. I could show you how we could do that, but in this case, I'm gonna actually hard code things. So we'll just say login.microsoftonline.com, and then we're gonna put rzdemos.com. So that's the hard coding that I talked about. All right, the second part of this is I need to provide, let's see, we'll do a false on validating the authority. All right, so next is, let's actually go and get a token. So let's say var auth result equals auth context dot get acquire. We're going to do acquire token async. There it is. And in here, I need to provide the resource. So we're going to the Microsoft graph. So I'm going to say graph.microsoft.com. And then in this case, we're going to also put in here our certificate. And that should get us a result back. Let's test our work and see if we actually get a token. So we'll just do an async. Oh, no, I'm sorry, an await. And I'm going to put just a breakpoint here, just something to put a breakpoint. There we go. So let's run this and see if we actually get a token back. Now this, I think, is going to fail. And I'll explain why here in just a moment. If it doesn't, then we'll be happy. But let's see if our authentication result. OK, so it happened to work. And the reason why I thought this might fail is because I haven't really consented the app. But I defined the app, so sometimes, because like I'm the person who defined it, that's kind of like implied consent. But typically what I would need to do is actually go and consent this application. That's pretty easy to do. There's lots of documentation on doing this. Again, like if I wanted to get the tenant ID along with it, it would be a code authorization flow, but I'd say the response type is code plus ID token. And then that would bring me back all that information. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and stop this. We now have enough to actually call into the Microsoft graph. So let's actually do that here. Let's do an HTTP client. All right, equals new client. And we need to set the header on this. So we'll say client.defaultheaders.add. And we're going to add the authorization header. And we're going to set it equal to bearer. And then we're going to tack onto this our auth result. AuthResult.AccessToken. All right, now we can simply perform an operation. So let's do using var response equals await client.getAsync. So in this case, we said read directory data. So let's just read users from the tenant. So the way we do that with the graph is say https graph.microsoft.com/v1.0/users. So that should bring back users. It's all automatically going to use my tenant based upon the fact that that's the tenant that's associated with the token. And so let's just do a quick check in here. We'll say if response dot is success, then we'll actually read the text out. So let's just read the JSON out. So we'll say response dot content. We'll do a read as string async. All right. And we'll put another breakpoint here so we can see the output of our JSON. So this should get us everything we need. Again, everything in a nice, simple console application using app-only permissions. So let's go ahead and press play and see if we're successful. So it's kicking up. So let's check our status code. We have a success, so that means it actually did get data back. And so now if I press play one more time, if I go look at the JSON, I'll copy all of this. And if we were to bring this over to Notepad, I'll just paste it down here. You can see I have all of my users. In fact, there's quite a bit here that I could go through, but I actually went and pulled back users from the Microsoft Graph. So hopefully you can see that this is another kind of tool in your tool belt when you're working with the Microsoft Graph. You don't always have to make operations as a user. In this case, we can do more of like a system type of operation using those app-only permissions. Do note that they are very secure. You're gonna have to have an admin consent to these types of applications just because of the fact that they have access to the entire tenant. So be careful because of that. You know, you want to make sure that you use these wisely. But they are a very powerful tool that is a capability of the Microsoft Graph. So check out the sample. We'll also make sure that there's some links to how to kind of walk through everything that I've done in this video and do some cool things with app-only permissions. Thanks. Happy coding.